Welcome to Get a Move On, the podcast for movement lovers who are fed up with their injuries and want to enhance their all-round health. On this podcast, I'll help you change how you think about pain and illness so you can drop the frustration and move freely. I'm Amy, an osteopath turned yoga teacher and mindset coach. On this pod, I'll be talking about the joys of pain, injury and illness, the mind-body connection, and how they relate to our movement practice so you can get a move on.
Hey everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Get a Move On with Amy Slevin. We've just been joking about it that we're about to talk about the sexiest topic so far. What are we talking about, Ames?
Delayed onset muscle soreness.
Delayed onset muscle soreness. Let's jump straight in. I can't wait. What's the deal?
Delayed onset muscle soreness is something that has inevitably affected anyone who's ever done any exercise in their life. And I have two situations of my worst, absolute worst DOMS ever. Delayed onset muscle soreness, D-O-M-S, DOMS. And my first one, I think I've mentioned before, is when I did my very first parkour class ever. I thought I was like fit and strong and whatever. I did that first class on a Monday. And afterwards, from like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday still, I was in so much pain all over my body. I could not move without pain. Like every step was excruciating and it kind of just kept getting worse. And that was started on Monday and there was a class on the Friday and I was still sore for the Friday class.
On the Friday?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus. And you were already an exerciser?
It was a shock to the system, shall we say. And then the second time I had like unbelievable DOMS was not that long ago, about 2 years ago, when I went horse riding for the first time in about 15 years. I did half an hour of horse riding and literally for about 2 weeks, possibly 3 weeks, the inside thigh department was like agony. And I was like, this is not normal because DOMS normally lasts for like between 2 and 3 days and then you kind of get over it. Fuck me, this was so painful for so long. I was like, something's gone wrong here. I don't know what's gone wrong, but like, this is epically excruciating.
I like the idea that the insides of your thighs is a department.
I'm not the only one who's had this, right?
Yeah, I had one experience of it particularly badly in my first week of university. I was dragged to a boxing fitness class. Not boxing, boxing fitness.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that sounded less scary than boxing. It turned out to be way more scary than boxing. But yeah, it was like this amateur boxer, former amateur boxer, Glaswegian lad, who took the session, quickly whisked off my mate to like the big boy session. So I missed the Thursday and Friday of freshers because I was just in bed.
No way.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if you have the one where like one arm and one pec hurts more than the others. You have to lift. You have to take your right hand and lift your left hand up. Otherwise, uh-huh. It won't be able to lift. Yeah, yeah.
Or even if you have like DOMS in the legs, you have to like manually move your legs.
Yeah, it makes you really grateful for not having DOMS, especially when you wake up in the morning. That's actually the thing, right? Waking up in the morning is the reset where it's like, oh, wow, I feel great or I feel fucking shit. But like, it's a gamble. Right? You, like you pull the lever.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Interesting that you say how it's wonderful not to have DOMS because a lot of people think that it is wonderful to have DOMS.
Like having tan lines.
Exactly. It's a symbol of how hard you've worked. It's almost like there are some people who think like, well, if you don't have soreness the next day, then you haven't been working hard enough, which may or may not be true, but it's all about a perception, right? So you can sometimes perceive in the moment they've been working super hard. And then like the next day, the DOMS is almost like the reward.
And there's a wider message here too, which is the pain of DOMS does objectively suck, but it might be perceived as really cool because it indicates progress. And I'd imagine that very same piece of philosophy would be useful for conditions that aren't as obviously beneficial.
I like how you say that the pain of DOMS obviously sucks. It doesn't. The pain of DOMS is obviously delicious. Even though it's unpleasant, right? That does not mean that it sucks, okay? So if the meaning that we give it is like, this is my reward of having worked really hard, some people are going to feel that way and some people are going to feel like, this is not worth it. The amount of pain that I'm in now is not worth whatever I'm trying to achieve because I can't function with this level of DOMS.
It's so true. It's about the meaning. Like people say, feel the burn and kind of get a kick out of it. I don't know why all these episodes kind of descend quite quickly, but it's not dissimilar to how the fact people like really get a kick out of BDSM type pain. There's some meaning associated to them, but someone mm-hmm. else might think it's kind of as insane as it might appear to be.
Well, let's just chuck this out here. Pleasure and pain are two sides of the same coin. If you think about yin yang symbol, within every pain, there is a pleasure, and within every pleasure, there is a pain. And we need to be conscious of both of them in order to be a balanced being and to have a balanced perception about the thing.
Yeah, I can think of a few examples of pains within pleasures where you can note that the greater the pleasure, the bigger the pain. Anything ecstasy related, the more dopamine your brain produces in the moment and the bigger the pleasure, is directly correlated with the amount of dopamine withdrawal you have the next day. Although, it's worth noting, it's still difficult to make a case that in the moment it sucks. That's a moment shortly afterwards, which is kind of the weaker claim that I think most people are happy with. Although, the flip side of this, i.e. where is the pleasure in the pain, that's harder to see. Like if I'm Mr. Chronic Back Pain, one of the least exciting superheroes, where's the pleasure there?
Oh, ho, ho. Well, that's what's unique to each and every person. And that is obviously something that I work with people to find. And that was one of the things that I've had to do on myself and all of that kind of stuff. This one woman I was working with for a while who had long-term back pain, her pleasure within her pain was related to her family and her career. And the pleasure was that when she was having a back pain flare-up, it helped her not have to go and see her family that she felt very obliged to see. So it gave her an excuse not to sit in her car for however long it would take to get to see the family, because sitting in the car would be too painful. And so she had the pleasure of being able to say, I'm not coming today.
Yeah, and there is something uncontroversial about being liberated from responsibilities that you view as burdens being a nice thing. Like that quite obviously just is a nice thing.
Yeah.
Actually, I really like that as an example. It basically means that you have a excuse, sounds like a boo pejorative excuse, but I mean that, but nicer. You have a reason that everybody accepts to not do things that you would otherwise think of shit, which in turn means that you actually find it easier in that particular way to do the stuff you do want to do, which is quite a liberating thing.
Exactly. And sometimes having a pain, even though we perceive it as getting in the way of something, it's on the way to something else. And it helps us to potentially find or refine our priorities and do stuff that is genuinely and authentically important to us. So, for example, if we want to learn how to do some funky move and we have some kind of physical bodily pain that's preventing us from doing that movement, practicing that movement. Like I was working with someone who, when I was asking her why she wanted to do that particular movement, which was a handstand, the answer was because I wanted to prove to other people that I had worth and that I was worthy of their approval by being able to do this skill that was pretty difficult. And her wrist pain was preventing her from being able to prove herself. And she found that incredibly frustrating. But then when we did this process, she just thought like, what for? Like, why do I care about impressing these people? And so her pain in a way was helping her to be more authentic to herself and not just kind of try to please and impress everybody else.
Yeah, it's a useful feedback mechanism. And if you're happy to suffer pain for stuff, it means that there must be a pretty big reason why. Half the time, that might be a cool, yeah, you do you kind of situation. But the other half, as with her, by the sounds of things, it's, oh God, I've got some big thing that I'm trying to do in terms of impressing other people. Or some other type of pain. I mean, that's the thing about pain, right? It forces you to recognize what's going on.
Indeed, it does. And sometimes that can be really scary. You can start to open that can of worms and suddenly you're like, oh shit, like I'm confronted with like my own feelings of self-worth or my limitations in my self-worth. And now we have to deal with that. And that can be a bit overwhelming sometimes and a bit scary, but actually it's incredibly gratifying. Like I've actually been doing some of that myself recently. That's when pain really is a gift, because when you do start doing these exercises and you kind of start realizing, okay, well, it's trying to get me to be more authentic, trying to get me to see my own worth through my own lens and not through the lens of other people. And then you start finding those ways of embodying and owning your worth. That is so powerful and so much more powerful than seeking the approval of other people who kind of don't really even care anyway.
Yeah, the deep irony is no one cares. I don't mean this in terms of like cares about you in terms of whether you're around in a family kind of way. But in terms of your achievements, accomplishments, no one cares 5% as much as you care. You're not the protagonist in basically anyone else's life, unless you kind of have a Jewish mum, in which case, oh, you actually are the protagonist. That might extend to other immigrant communities, I'd imagine. Sorry, all the British kids, your mums aren't that into you, apparently, according to the pods. The point being, no one really cares. And like, you know, you go to a house party or a reunion, and that's a good example because it's like where everyone sort of walks around with their sleeve of, look at me, I've done all this stuff. You have to pretend to care. But the whole takeaway is like, oh, they're doing a thing, cool. And yet, if it wasn't for the pain, you might invest too much time in achieving reactions that ultimately end up being cool, i.e. they don't matter.
Yeah, you might make an impression on someone like for 2.5 minutes. Ultimately, no one really gives a shit. And that's just the sad reality.
You know, we talk about pain as a feedback mechanism a lot. The game and the art is to know whether the pain is, no, whoa, slow down. This is your body telling you that you're doing too much. Versus, obviously, no, you keep going. This is brilliant. Like, the pain is showing progress. How the hell are you supposed to distinguish?
I kind of think, in a way, DOMS is kind of an exception to that. Because it's delayed onset, obviously you're going to feel the burn and the discomfort, whatever, while you're in the action of doing the thing. But because it's delayed, and because it doesn't mean that you're damaged, it's a different kind of situation. It's a different meaning entirely. It's almost like the reward in some ways. I know some people who distinctly, like, if they don't get DOMS after a workout, they're like, well, that was a fucking waste of time. They're like disappointed that they haven't got the DOMS because the DOMS means that they've been winning.
I was just wondering whether there are any other types of pain that people are disappointed if they don't have.
Yeah, I've had that. Like, if you have a bruise, or like if you bump yourself, either you don't have a bruise, or if you have a big bruise that's not painful, it's a bit like, well, what's the point?
Yeah, I know. Like, I had a flatmate who, we played five-a-side. It turns out that he broke his ankle. He didn't know, so he played most of the game. And then he went with another flatmate to A&E that evening and came back with the biggest smile on his face in a boot, because obviously that's so cool. It's like how secretly everyone wants to break their metatarsal, because I swear Rooney did it in 2004.
It's very trendy.
Yeah. What's the trendiest injury? Metatarsal is right up there.
I think it probably is. Well, maybe it depends on the sport. The trendiest one for like parkour people is probably like a shin injury.
Ooh, shin injury. Ow.
Fuck me, they're painful. Oh my God.
Does it just show you've been doing such big jumps that the impact has been so big? Your shins have had to take some of the weight.
Basically means like that you've been really challenging your fear and your technical ability. And if you accidentally get a shin injury, it's like, oh, mate, oh, that's painful. But you did something that was so worthy and so scary. Well done. But you fucked up anyway.
Yeah. Why is it a little bit like people in business making busyness a thing? Like,
yeah, it's the reward. It's trendy.
Yeah, it's the aspirational state of working 120 hours.
Yeah, it means that you're in demand.
There's a concept in China, the name of which I forget, translates to being lying down. And it's supposed to be like a slightly millennial or younger Gen Z philosophical movement of, no, I'm not going to do the rat race thing. Because in China, the scale of the country and the socioeconomic conditions and the emerging middle class, et cetera, mean that it's just a massive, massive rat race. It makes New York City look relaxed. There's a term, and again, the name of which I forget, but it translates into 9 to 9, 6 days a week. So the idea is you work 9 to 9, Sunday to Friday, so you get Saturdays off.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the exact same point. It's like there, you want to be busy and that's the kind of pain. It's the, fuck, I'm stressed, but, you know, stressy, not depressy.
But it means I'm successful, therefore I'll tolerate it.
Yeah, I prefer stressy, not depressy, but I'll accept your real explanation.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, anyway, and I just think there's a comparison there between different forms of pain being seen as a good thing. The really interesting bit, and I think this is where Amy comes in as a practitioner and professional, is when people have a difficult time linking their pain to good things, in the same way that we all quite regularly do with DOMS or with busyness, if you're a worker B, business type A.
Yeah, that is totes true. But, you know, it just requires a few simple, clever questions and people find them. You know, even my mother the other day, she was asking me about some sacroiliac joint pain that she'd been having for the last few months. So my mom managed to find several benefits to her and several ways in which her pain had been helping her. And one of them was to socialize with her friends in a way that she enjoyed more than going for a walk in the park. She wasn't digging the walks in the park, but she was kind of like tolerating them because she felt that she had to, because it was locked down. And that was kind of the only legitimate way that she was allowed to socialize with her mates. The back pain was kind of her way of being like, you know, I don't want to go for a walk. I want to be able to sit down and have a cup of tea and chat with my mates and sort of interact with them in a different way than going for a walk. I want to be able to dance. I want to be able to do different activities other than just walking. And so we basically teased out ways in which we could give her permission to do those things. And, you know, we got there. And in the course of the little phone call that we were having, her pain started to recede, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah, there's a link we talk about a lot on the show between the meaning you give pain and the pain manifesting itself. Because mm-hmm. it ends up being, obviously, the sum of pain is structural, obviously, and then the hot take is that there's also a big psychological component. So when mm-hmm. pain starts to recede because you've started to find the benefits of it, it's actually not much of a shock. You've just reduced one of the two variables.
Totally. DOMS generally is one type of pain that is not related to anything psychological. It is purely physiological. And there are various theories about what causes delayed onset muscle soreness. And I just kind of want to talk about those for a minute, because there are some that are still kind of lingering that are very old and outdated. For example, the lactic acid theory. So there was a theory that you probably learned about in GCSE biology.
This is what I think, yeah. I think what happens is you anaerobically respire, which mm-hmm. produces oxygen plus lactic acids.
Sorry, that was harsh. Carbon dioxide. Oxygen is used in the process.
So you get the oxygen in, then you get the carbon dioxide and the lactic acid out, and the lactic acid sort of fucks you. And then that's why I got a C. It kind of fucks you, and this is how osmosis works. Ames, ask me to like describe how an oxbow lake is formed, and I'm all over it.
No. Anyway, yes, well, that is one of the theories that we probably all learned at school, which is basically not true. So
articulated so beautifully.
I mean, you did very well, dear. But anyway, that doesn't happen. I mean, yes, lactic acid gets made or it's a byproduct of respiration. However, it's a chemical process and it gets cleared. The lactic acid gets cleared within about 10 to 15 minutes of the exercise or of the activity. And so that won't explain why we get sore like 48 hours after the exercise.
Especially when it can be properly delayed. Like that's the weird detail, right?
Yeah. How does the production of lactic acid in the moment of the exercise cause pain 2 days later? Like that doesn't make sense. There's another theory, which is that it's caused by little micro traumas to the muscle fibers, which then causes inflammation. Again, that one is like the most prevalent at the moment, I think. And that one also just doesn't make sense necessarily, even though it is the most well accepted. People think that stretching after they've been exercising is going to be the thing that prevents DOMS from happening 2 days later. However, if we're creating little micro tears in muscles and then we're stretching the muscles that we've just created little micro tears in while we were using the muscle, how the hell does stretching help with that? Surely yeah. stretching would make it worse. It doesn't make sense. This is just not enough thinking of through, frankly. So delayed onset muscle soreness happens if we've been exerting ourselves more than normal. And also if we've been doing what's called a lengthening or eccentric contraction of a muscle. So for example, running downhill is where your muscles are contracting, but they're also lengthening at the same time. So for example, the downward motion of a pull-up is the eccentric contraction. And so if you're doing lots of pull-ups, it'll be the downward action rather than the pull upward action that will be the thing that causes the DOMS rather than the actual pull-up itself. Some people also think that it's a breakdown in fascia. I don't know if that's true. It's just a theory at the moment.
I think it's about the economy the whole time and economics as a discipline. It's incredible mm-hmm. that there are so many theories that have enough explanatory power to at least explain enough of the cases, enough of the way that we don't know. Because this has been something we've been experiencing since the start of human history. And we're like, well, it could be X, it could be Y, it could be Z.
Precisely. Well, I'm just going to add some more confusion to the mix and say that some people think that it's inflammation being a natural part of the repair process from the little micro tears. However, the fact that taking anti-inflammatories doesn't touch DOMS means it's not an inflammatory process.
Interesting. So, Ames, what are we left with as the most likely?
Well, fuck knows. We're left with a terrible mystery.
I feel like, you know, in Scooby-Doo, they take the mask off and it's like,
that's exactly what it is.
We'll take the mask off and it'll be like, oh no, it was inflammation.
Although I did attend a lecture recently about chronic pain and now kind of psychosomatic links between pain and chronic pain. And they did mention DOMS in that. And they did say that DOMS is nothing psychological, but they did say it's not psychological, but it is blah, blah, blah. And I can't remember for the life of me what that blah, blah, blah was, which is so unhelpful. I've been trying to find the lecture so I can re-listen to it so that I can add it to this conversation. Couldn't find it.
Heartbreak. So what can we do about it then?
It's again, another mystery of the universe, because it's not an inflammatory process. So we know that taking measures against inflammation don't help. Some athletes take an ice bath thinking that that is going to help them, but actually it doesn't necessarily help. And there's also research that shows that having an ice bath after activity prevents the body from adapting to the exercise that's just been done, because it restricts blood flow, which then hinders muscle recovery.
Wow. Are there just general principles, though, when it comes to DOMS about this is too much? Like me at the boxing, should I be taking a lesson from that that goes, whoa, not that again?
You know, I think that comes down to values. Because if you don't value exercise highly enough, you're going to be put off by the DOMS, right? And if you do value exercise highly enough, then the DOMS are just part of the process and you won't think twice about it.
Unless, of course, just for confusion's sake, you're doing the boxing to impress someone you don't ultimately feel like you should be impressing, in which case you need to be able to distinguish between the case that it's a value and the fact that you're just trying to do something that isn't sustainable.
Precisely. Some people think that foam rolling and massage are effective. I'm going to say that they do provide temporary relief, but only in the form that mechanical pressure exerted onto a muscle or applied onto a muscle from a massage or a foam roller overrides the pain receptors. So there are lots of different nerve fibers that go from your body to your brain, and the pain receptors are a bit more slow, but the mechanical ones are kind of faster and thicker. And so they're able to send messages to your brain more quickly than the pain receptors, which then makes your brain think, oh, this isn't so painful after all. So that's why massage and foam rolling can appear to have an effect in the short term, but ultimately you kind of just have to ride it out and DOMS will go away when it goes away. One that I sometimes do, which I do think is effective, which is hot, cold, hot, cold, hot, cold. Because there you're stimulating blood flow and constriction. So you're getting blood to go in. It helps to kind of flush out the inflammation, get kind of fluid dynamics going around the muscles to take away any bad stuff that might be lingering there and bring in the good blood with new nutrients, oxygen, etc., to help the recovery process. Some people say compression garments might be useful. So, you know, get out your flight socks. But one that I think actually helps a lot is moving. Controversial potentially, unless you have ever run a marathon and you've known that the next day you have to get up and go running again. I've spoken to a few people who've done marathons, and obviously you wake up the next day, you're like in so much agony from having run, you know, a marathon the previous day. And they've all said to me, yeah, you have to go running the next day.
Is it comparable to like hair of the dog?
Maybe.
Hair of the dog as a total site, I've never understood it. Like, I can't think of anything worse the next day if you're
hungover. Are you not just delaying the inevitable?
Yeah, and also, like, you think, like, oh, alcohol, what's the worst thing ever? I totally don't want to be going anywhere near that. But if you run a marathon, apparently not.
Yeah. But if you have DOMS and you sit down and you're kind of just, like, chilling, and then you start moving again, whew, holy macaroni, that is very painful. But if you're moving around a lot, you don't experience it quite as much. It's when you're not moving and then you start moving again that it's just like, ugh.
And of course, the inevitable question is, what happens if you run the marathon, have the DOMS the next day, but the night before you've gone out to celebrate, so you're also hungover? So now you're doing your morning jog while having a drink because it's still hair of the dog.
I think we should do an experiment, and I would invite anyone to have a go and report back. I just want to say that, like, DOMS, as unpleasant as they are, basically harmless. And unfortunately, it doesn't seem like there's much that we can do about them other than just enjoy them and give yourself a pat on the back for having earned them in the first place.
Cool. Well, Ames, I appreciate the DOMS chat. As always, guys, this has been Get a Move On with Amy Slevin. And today we've discussed a little bit about delayed internal muscle soreness. And with that, we'll say goodbye and see you next week.
Bye.
That was Get a Move On with Amy Slevin. If you enjoyed that, we'll be back next week with a slightly different topic. And if you didn't enjoy that, we'll be back next week with a slightly different topic. Thanks for listening.